In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Esther was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all her sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Please join me in the Good Shepherd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise that at her baptism you claimed Esther for your own. We thank you, dear Father, that you created her to be the unique and special person that she is. We thank you, O God the Son, that in due time, you became flesh, a genuine human being, and as God and man, you lived and died and rose again to give her eternal life. And we praise you, O God, the Holy Spirit, that you gave her the gift of faith at her baptism and sustained her in that faith through the sacraments and through the Word of God all these years. We give you thanks and praise for all these your blessings, O Lord, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The first reading is written in Isaiah chapter 61. These are words Jesus quoted in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth and said that he was fulfilling them. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 31st verse. "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the verse. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. In our reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Here ends the gospel. Well, many years ago, Esther was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And she confessed that faith in her confirmation through the words of the Apostles' Creed. And many times since, please join in confessing that faith today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn. Thank you. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. Amen. The text is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, Esther's confirmation verse. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the text. In the name of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, your fellow redeemed, especially dear James and Roger and David and members of your family. What makes you afraid? Is it the fear of our own mortality, the fear that now that mom is gone, you are the oldest living generation in your family, your immediate family? Is it the fear that this COVID mess is never going to end? Is it the fear that our nation is going down the wrong path and who knows where it's going to take us? This verse was used to drive out Esther's fears, your mom's fears, at a young age. A few days before she turned 14, she knelt at God's altar here at Trinity for the rite of confirmation. And same place where she was baptized, and as I understand it, where she later married your dad, here she received this verse as a blessing. Those were not easy years. The Great Depression was raging. Turmoil was stirring up in Europe and in the Pacific. Later, our country would be drawn into the Second World War. And yet those people of faith here in good old Hoyleton, they found it possible in the strength of the Lord to have strength and even joy by the power of God's Spirit through the Word. And by the same power of the Holy Spirit, you will find strength and comfort and yes, even joy today. What makes you afraid? The words were first written for people who had a lot to fear. These last chapters of the book of Isaiah were written as a sort of a book of preemptive comfort for the people of Jerusalem who would be taken prisoner, taken captive to Babylon. Something like 150 years later, it happened. Just like parts of the Gospels and the book of Revelation are written for us to comfort us in the things that will happen in the future, so God gave Isaiah these words so that those people would have a little book of comfort as they huddled in their little homes in that strange and foreign land. The people of Israel had lived in that land that God gave them for about 800 years. God drove out their enemies, blessed them in that land of milk and honey. But because of their wickedness, the king of Babylon came in. Many people were killed. The place was leveled. A few poor people were left amidst the ashes. The lucky ones were the ones who were taken away as captives. They became, in their wickedness, they had become like the other nations of the earth. So God said, the land has to cast you out. But the book of comfort was written with the faithful few in mind. Those who turned away from worshiping idols, those who put their trust in the Lord, those who listened to the prophets. A couple of verses before this verse, the prophet addresses these faithful people this way. He says, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called you from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Then he says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now in the New Testament book of Hebrews, it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. It's a warning for us not to rebel against God. And those ancient people learned, indeed, that was a fearful thing. But when we come before God as sinners who know our fallenness, who regret our sins and our wrongdoing, and confess them to the Lord, and we seek His forgiveness, His pardon, then there's nothing to be afraid of. Scripture says fear has to do with punishment, and Jesus, we know, has taken the punishment for us. What makes you afraid? The text says, I am with you, God Himself speaking to you, Emmanuel, which means God with us. We've just come through the Christmas season, and I think I heard you say that on Christmas Eve, your mom was having a good day, and she understood and was able to celebrate the good news that God's Son came into this world for her. In the course of Advent and Christmas, we hear again and again the Lord tell us that because of Emmanuel, God with us, we do not need to be afraid. The angel Gabriel goes to Nazareth to talk to the Virgin Mary and says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive and bear in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. An angel comes to Joseph in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And we remember that wonderful word to the shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks by night. No wonder, in the dark, they're sore afraid, extremely troubled when the angel of the Lord appears to them. But he says, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Fear not. What makes us afraid? The text says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. You belong to Him. He is yours, and you are His. God has purchased you for Himself, not with gold or silver, but with something worth more than all the money in the world, the precious blood of God's own Son, spent on the cross for you. God didn't spare Him, but gave Him up for us all. You belong to Him because Jesus made that purchase. Jesus later says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now your mom has entered that kingdom in its glory phase, in paradise with Jesus. And I like the way you said you wanted to say, hallelujah, mom, you made it. You got what you were waiting for. Indeed, be not dismayed, for I am your God. What makes you afraid? The text says, I will strengthen you, I will help you. God is at work to strengthen you. He will establish us, firm us up, keep us with Jesus in the one true faith. We know that what drove the fear out of your mom was the promises of the Holy Scriptures. And it was such a delight to hear you talking about your mom, because it reminded me of my own mom, who went home to Jesus last July at the age of 92. Many similarities. And I enjoyed hearing about how your mom would help the other residents, teach them to pray before and after meals, how she would witness about Jesus to the nurses and aides, how this faith that God had given her could not be contained. She more than just believed in her heart, she confessed it with her lips. She shared the good news of Jesus. And that joy came through. And those people who served her were actually served by her as she shared the faith in Jesus with them. God strengthened her, he helped her, he kept her for himself. He'll keep you as well. Keep turning to those same scriptures. As she passed it on to you, pass it on to the next generation and the next, that on the last day when Jesus comes back, none in your family would be lost, but all would be together hand in hand with Jesus. I know that was my mom's daily prayer for our family. What makes you afraid? God says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Consider the powerful hand of God. The Lord says in his word that it was with his outstretched arm that he rescued Israel out of Egypt. He brought all those disasters on the Egyptians for their wickedness. Remember the 10 plagues. He brought them through the Red Sea on dry ground, led them through the wilderness, gave them the land flowing with milk and honey, defeated their enemies, and as long as they trusted in the Lord and followed him, he fought their battles with his right hand. Well, Jesus allowed his hands to be stretched out on the cross for us, did he not? Jesus rose from the dead and allowed the disciples to handle his hands and his feet and his side so they could see, yes, it was Jesus, the same Savior crucified, now raised again. Jesus raised his hands to bless them as he departed from them visibly. Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. He's there to show the Father those nail marks so the Father will never forget the sacrifice made for you and for me. And with the powerful voice of Jesus, Esther will be raised from the dead when Jesus returns. Only this time, no more troubles that come with old age, no more frustration, no more problems with vision or COVID or anything. A body like Jesus has, imperishable and incorruptible, no longer subject to death or mortality. Well, thank you for the privilege of asking me to bring you God's word today. Your mom, like mine, is safe with Jesus in heaven. We'll see them again. Nothing need make us afraid. God is with you. God is your God. He strengthens and helps you. He upholds you with his righteous right hand. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to God our Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son, by their faithful pastors, may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give to the family of Esther and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our thanks for Esther and for all the blessings you bestowed on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the closing hymn. 11th, 1923 in Hoyleton, Illinois. She's the daughter of Edward and Emma Grody Hoogie. Esther was baptized on April 22nd, 1923 by Reverend Alfred Feeler and confirmed April 12th, 1936, both here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton by Reverend Alfred Feeler. Her confirmation verse was Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In those years, they were confirmed both in German and in English. Esther was united in marriage to Edwin W. Schaefer on February 2nd, 1946, again here at Trinity in Hoyleton. He preceded her in death on May 29th, 1994. Left to mourn her passing are her three sons, James Schaefer and his wife Brenda of Centralia, Roger L. Schaefer and wife Jill of Mary Esther, Florida, David Allen Schaefer of Irvington, Illinois, six grandchildren, Todd Schaefer and wife Misty of Irvington, Jason Schaefer and wife Leanne of Centralia, Jonathan Schaefer and wife Alicia of Leeds, Alabama, Christopher Schaefer of Pace, Florida, Jacob Schaefer and wife Robin of Troy, Illinois, Courtney Collegier and husband John of Gillespie, Illinois, also seven great-grandchildren, and a sister, Betty Y. of Hoyleton. Esther was preceded in death by her parents, her husband, five brothers, Elmer Hoogie, Alfred Hoogie, Edward Hoogie Jr., Richard Hoogie, and Gilbert Hoogie, three sisters, Alma Caston, Corrine Renegarby, and Ella Waking. Esther was the oldest living member of Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton. She worked for many years as a CNA at Country View Nursing Home in Irvington and cared for numerous friends and neighbors. She volunteered at the Hoyleton Children's Home, also enjoyed canning, sewing, quilting, baking, and her biggest joy was helping to raise her grandchildren. On Monday, January 17th, 2022, at 12:38 p.m. at Odin Healthcare Center in Odin, God fulfilled his baptismal promise to Esther, just a few weeks shy of her 99th birthday, and called her out of this earthly life and into his heavenly presence. Her mortal remains will be laid to rest on God's acre here at Trinity Lutheran Church, Hoyleton, there to await the trumpet, the call to the resurrection of the body when Christ returns. A sure and certain hope. And the scripture says, precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.